From Vermont Public Radio, this is VPR Regional News.
This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Good afternoon. I'm Steve Zandin for Jane Lindholm today. Instant runoff voting, or IRV, continues to attract attention in Vermont, and the legislature continues to weigh the issue in the form of two bills. The debate over IRV in Vermont goes back a number of years.
Instant runoff, again, it equals majority rule. It's a simple method of having a runoff all at the same time that you vote. And it works in many places. And I think that's why so many people support it, including groups as varied as The Grange and the League of Women Voters and VPIRG.
When you start splintering into smaller parties, which IRV will favor, you're going to have certainly more extreme parties, which could even endanger minority rights. I certainly believe fraud could increase, especially with absentee voting.
That's Paul Burns of the Vermont Public Interest Research Group and former Williston Representative Michael Quaid debating instant runoff voting 5 years ago on VPR. Before we start our discussion today, it might be good to sort of give a little thumbnail sketch of how IRV works. Whether you're voting absentee or you're going to the polls on election day, what you would do on your ballot, instead of choosing just one candidate when you fill out that ballot, you would mark one candidate as your first choice, another as your second choice, another as your third choice, and so on. Then if no candidate receives at least 50% of the first place votes in a race, all but the top vote getters are eliminated and the ballots are counted again. And this time, the voters whose top candidate was eliminated will have their number two choices counted. And that goes on until one candidate has a majority of the vote. So in this case, instead of a plurality, it would take a majority to win a race. The system is used in Burlington. In fact, the Queen City elected Mayor Bob Kiss using IRV 2 years ago. It's also been adopted by a few other municipalities around the country, but it's yet to gain widespread use. Here in Vermont, there are two bills in the legislature. A House bill would adopt IRV for statewide and national races. The Senate version would only apply it to the races for the U.S. Senate and House. That bill passed the Senate last spring and is now in a House committee. So today, as we discussed instant runoff voting, we're asking what you think of IRV. Do you understand how it works? Do you need it explained to you? Is it improvement over the current system in your view? If you're a town clerk, we'd love to hear from you and how you think IRV would work in your town. Our number at Vermont Edition, 1-800-639-2211, or you can email us, too, at vermontedition@vpr.net. And I'm joined today by Representative Chris Pearson, a Burlington progressive who supports IRV, and Senator Kevin Mullen, a Rutland County Republican who voted against the Senate IRV bill. Gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Chris Pearson, let's start with you. What's broken that needs fixed with IRV?
Well, I think we have, as we know, a very strong tradition of independence in Vermont. Most people do not identify as members of any party. They identify as independents. In fact, Vermont is the state above all others that casts more votes per capita outside of the two parties than any other state. We've done that consistently for well over a decade now. And yet we have a voting system that has profound difficulty any time you have more than two people vying for a single race. You have so-called spoiler problems sometimes. You don't have a good way of really offering voters what they want, which is more choices at the ballot. But right now, the current system has a lot of trouble when you try to do that. And so this would institute, as you said, a majority requirement and a pretty simple solution to get there without needing a runoff, which is the traditional way.
Is it not a good thing that a candidate wins based on simply a plurality instead of winning 50% or more of the vote?
Well, I don't think it's a good thing when somebody takes office when they are opposed by a strong majority of voters. So, no, I think that's a real problem.
And Kevin Mullen, what concerns do you have about instant runoff voting?
Well, I have several, Steve. First, I don't think the current system is broken. And, you know, if Chris could point out to a recent election in Vermont where he felt that the outcome wasn't appropriate for the citizens of Vermont, I'd appreciate that. He's made a lot of valid points, but my concerns, number one, I think that IRV is one, confusing to the voter when you start to have to get into, you know, your first choice, your second choice, and your third choice. But the main reason why I'm opposed to IRV is I think that it will lead to negative campaigning, and the reasons are obvious. If you're in a hotly contested race, certainly the candidate may not say, you know, don't vote for, you know, my opponent Joe, but vote for George instead because George doesn't have a likely chance to win. But people in your organization will, and they'll try to game the system. So that scares me. And you know, I was just doing a little mathematical calculation before we went on the air, and I took three sample candidates, basically candidate A, candidate B, and candidate C. And let's give an example where candidate A got 40% of the vote, candidate B got 40% of the second choice in that scenario, and C got third. In 35% of the public, it went C, B, A. And in 25%, it went BCA. So clearly, the second choice for those who did not rank them as the first choice was candidate B. And yet, under IRV, since they did not come in the top two, they would be eliminated and would not have a chance to win. And a classic example of this is a place where it actually passed over 30 years ago in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Ann Arbor passed IRV. The incumbent mayor received close to 50%, but not quite. And I can't remember the exact amount, if it was 45 or 49%. But they instituted the IRV, and he basically lost that election. So Ann Arbor repealed IRV there and just felt that it didn't work. And rather than have us have a similar situation happen in Vermont, those are my concerns. They may or may not be founded, but that's why I voted no on the Senate floor.
Let me give out the number again, 1-800-639-2211, and Chris Pearson give you a chance to respond to Kevin Mullen.
Yeah, I want to take something that I'm really concerned about, which is you raised about negative campaigning. First of all, we have that today. You know, we see it on television. Maybe we're a little inoculated it more than other states in Vermont. I mean, we try to do that, but you do see it in Vermont, in our own television ads and in ads that the big parties run here. In fact, what we saw in the Burlington IRV experience, which I was proud to be able to vote in because I live in Burlington, was that it was quite the opposite. Because candidates need – they obviously – you campaign for first-choice votes, okay? That's what you say, vote for me, and really you're saying put me number one. But – you're sensitive to the idea that you really want a lot of people, even if they're going to vote for your opponent number one, you want them to choose you number two in case a runoff is needed. And so you're not going to slam on your closest opponent because you want their supporters to think, hey, that's a pretty good guy. I think I'll rank them number two. And in fact, you see a dampening of this tendency to be so negative that we're
seeing.
Because
you want people to think of you well enough so that they vote for you. What about this example Kevin Mullen gives of the in the mayoral race where it's possible that someone who was favored by more voters as their first choice actually ended up losing the election because another candidate was the second choice of more voters?
Well, I find it hard to understand that example because as the bill that's moving in the State House today, if nobody gets a majority, you simulate what people think of as a traditional runoff between the top two vote-getters. So number one and number two are guaranteed to remain, and say candidates three, four, and five, their votes are re-tabulated for to shift towards if people made a second choice. First of all, it's important that people don't have to rank their candidates. They can just put a number one if they want and leave it there, sort of like we do today. But if three, four, and five have made a second choice, then it gets recalculated there. So there's no way under this scenario that people could suddenly fall off if they're in the top two. If they start in the top two, they're guaranteed to finish in the top two. You may find that the number two candidate eclipses the first place candidate. But in the Burlington example, for instance, Bob Kiss was leading after the first round, but nobody had a majority. And after the recount or after the runoff tabulation, he was then propelled over 50%.
Kevin Mullen, you want to jump in?
Sure. If I could follow up on that, that's an example where the system would have worked under the current way of voting, and Bob still would have won. And I want to just touch on what Chris used as the argument about somebody coming to be more moderate to try not to offend anybody. And that That argument scares me a little bit too, Steve, because what happens if we're not really hearing the candidates' true positions on issues and they're trying to mask their views that may be extreme to either one side or the other? And so that also would scare me. And again, I think that this is a case where we're trying to find a problem that may or may not even exist.
So candidates might pander to voters more.
Absolutely. Right, and that doesn't happen today.
Let's take a call from John in Burlington. Hi, John. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a voter in Burlington, and I experienced the instant runoff last time. And I must echo what Representative Pearson said, that it actually, rather than engendering negative campaigning, it kind of kept things not only on a more high road, but it really brought forth issues with that footing. The issues got talked about more in the last election, I believe. And, you can make a mathematical scenario where the Moran plan is going to sprout legs and walk away and get rid of our problem with that, as far as that Michigan example goes. But I think that the way it's explained often confuses people, and I don't think it has to. I mean, the basic question with IRV when you're in the voter's booth is, who are you going to vote for? And if your candidate wasn't there and there were a runoff between other candidates, who would you vote for? It's as simple as that. And frankly, I thought the system worked brilliantly in Burlington last time.
John, thanks for the call. Let me give out the phone number and email address once more and ask listeners if they agree with John, disagree with him, how they feel about instant runoff voting. Do you still have some questions? Perhaps you work in town government as a town clerk or another official, and you have an opinion about how it would work in your town. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. Our email address, vermontedition@vpr.net. Our guests are Representative Chris Pearson and Senator Kevin Mullen. Chris Pearson?
Yeah, and John's not alone. 89% of voters in Burlington responded that they thought IRV went really well. It was recently implemented in a couple of cities in North Carolina. They're 95% in Cary, North Carolina. Hendersonville, 86%. So folks like it when they have the opportunity to use it. The bottom line is, and I would agree with John, is it's about issues for me. There's an awful lot that is removed from the table in the debate when we force when we have a system that forces it to be between two people. I'm obviously a progressive, but so this issue doesn't bother me. But I could see conservatives in the state being pretty frustrated that statewide Republicans take a pro-choice stance. That issue is off the table in Vermont in statewide debates. If you had something like instant runoff voting, there would be room to have a more true conservative voice. On the left, maybe you would see more people out there talking about public power. We should have bought the Connecticut dams a few years ago when we had that option. That issue was not seriously debated at the statewide level. So I think there's a whole host of examples of things that are just frankly off the table today just because we have a voting system that brings it down to two voices.
Let me bring up a question Kevin Mullen brought up earlier, which is there a race that a recent race that comes to mind in Vermont where the outcome might have been different in Vermont? Or as you're pointing out, is it not so much about that? It's more about sort of a healthy airing of issues and a healthy debate.
Well, we've had a number of races in Vermont where there's been three strong contenders. In the last decade, I can think of a few. Con Hogan running as an independent got 10%. Anthony Polina, of course, a friend of mine, got 25% in the race for lieutenant governor. That race, Brian Doobie won with 42%. So clearly, nearly 60% of the state said, I want somebody other than him. And there was no way to honor that, or there was no way for that to be carried forward.
Would the outcome have been any different in any
of
those
cases?
Well,
we don't know. We don't know. But the point is, let's trust voters and take a look at that.
Kevin Mullen?
Well, I don't think the outcome would have been different. And so that's the basic crux of the problem. We haven't been able to be given an example that shows that the majority of Vermonters' wishes weren't achieved.
When you look at what happened in Burlington in 2006, where the system was used successfully in the election of the mayor there, did that put you at ease a little more about instant runoff voting? Does that answer some questions for you?
Yes and no. I think Burlington's a classic example where people voted to use that system. And if that's a choice of a local municipality, they can do that. And if the proponents of IRV voting want to see it at the state level, let's let the voters of Vermont decide. You know, when I haven't been on government operations for quite a few years now, but when I was, there was an opinion by some legal scholars that said, you know, basically, if you're not going to subvert our minimalist Vermont constitution, then it really should be a constitutional change. And I have no problems with that going to the voters. And if the voters want to decide that that's the election style that they want to use, that's okay. But for us to do it from here in Montpelier, I'm totally opposed.
Chris Pearson?
Well, in fact, the voters have weighed in on this. In 2002, 56 towns were put it on their ballot. Your town, Senator Mueller, Rutland Town, 73% of people supported instant runoff voting. Throughout Rutland County, 67% in Clarendon, unanimous in Mount Tabor, in Proctor, unanimous. Rutland Town, 68%, Shrewsbury, 66%, 98% in Tinmouth.
When was this?
This was 2002. And the question was, shall we encourage the legislature to use a system of instant runoff?
Why doesn't this seem to be gaining any traction in the legislature then?
Well, I don't think that's fair. It passed the Senate last year. It's been out of Government Operations Committee in the House as of last year. And I believe you'll see it on the floor within the next month or so.
Chris Pearson, where would you like to see instant runoff voting used? In what offices?
Anytime you're voting for one person. Anytime the outcome, electing one person, executive race.
So all
the statewide races, ideally, and the federal races as well.
At this point, that raises a constitutional question, correct, Kevin Mullen?
I believe so.
The Constitution, I believe, says that a number of the statewide offices should no candidate receive a majority would have to be decided by the legislature.
General Assembly, yes.
And obviously you would want to see that changed in order to effectively use instant runoff voting.
And that's why the bill that is being debated today only addresses U.S. Senate and federal races, because it's very clear there's no constitutional effort there. And the other, you know, this constitutional question only comes up for, I think it's 3 of the 6 statewide offices. So then the question is, well, why don't we do it for auditor and attorney general and treasurer? Well, you know, I think there is a legitimate to say, you know, that would be a bit confusing. You know, you vote for governor one way and auditor another way. Let's sample this with Congress and Senate and see how it works. See what Vermonters think of this system. I believe they'll like it because I think it jives with our independence and our independent nature.
And Kevin Mullen, just as a separate question, would you like to see that changed so that those offices were decided, let's say, by a plurality, if that's what you preferred, rather than by the legislature?
Well, Steve, actually, I would like to see a plurality decide, but I think there has to be a minimal threshold, whether that's 40 or 45%. Otherwise, my first choice would be to have an actual runoff election where the candidates could actually run against each other rather than do the IRV, because I just think that it's less confusing to the voters and you get a better chance to rethink once you've eliminated others from the field. So that would be my choice. But again, we'll see how this plays out.
Let's bring Megs into the conversation. She's calling us from Huntington. Hi, Megs.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I think the IRV is a wonderful idea. I think that the idea that the system is not broken, I don't buy that, because I feel like the goal of an election is an opportunity for all people to feel like they can express their goals or express their concerns. And the IRV basically establishes the goal of enfranchising all the voters. More people will be encouraged to vote because they don't feel they're throwing away their vote by voting for somebody that maybe is a fringe candidate that expresses their view. They know that if they vote for that fringe candidate, whether it be on the far right or the far left, they have an opportunity to at least have their voice expressed, but then by putting down a second choice, they can have an opportunity to say who they would favor in terms of who is probably going to win.
So, Megs, you would use it that way. You would go in and look at your ballot and list first, second, third choice, etc. Because I think maybe there would be many people who would just list one candidate.
Of course, but But in terms of enfranchising people, people would have the opportunity to vote for that candidate, you know, maybe the green candidate, maybe the, you know, whatever, without feeling like they're going to throw away their vote.
Okay, Meg, thanks a lot. We're going to move on to Andy, who's calling us from North Middlesex. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my call. I was wondering, many of the people supporting instant runoff voting are progressives or other third-party advocates, and I think probably it may be true that the majority of Vermonters are either mainstream Republicans or mainstream Democrats, and I'm wondering if instant runoff voting would make it more likely that a third-party candidate would win, thus subverting the middle-of-the-road majority's will. And
Kevin,
and also if
go ahead, Andy.
Yes, okay. That's enough for now.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Let's start with Senator Kevin Mullen.
You know, that's the real question, Andy, and because we haven't had experience, we don't really know what the outcome will be. And so I keep getting back to the same question. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I'm still trying to figure out what the problem is that we're trying to fix. And there may be a real problem that we're trying to fix, but I haven't seen it.
You don't think people would feel better if they, if in the end result of an election was that the candidate who won by a majority rather than a plurality?
Well, you know.
You know, they could at least look at it and say, well, this is, you know, someone for whom the majority of voters have expressed a preference, whether it's a first preference or a second preference.
Well, having worked as a ballot clerk in several elections in Rutland Town, I can tell you that I think you may be right, Steve, that a number of people will just vote for one. And so do we have a clear indication of who the second choice is when you see that so many people will just vote for one candidate? So, you know, I just think that this is confusing for the electorate. Chris and I have an honest disagreement on this one, and I think that in the end it really should be decided by the voters in a statewide election rather than a few referendums that are put on a town meeting day in an open forum and things like that, where seldom people vote no because they weren't prepared to put forward the other arguments. So, if we want to really hear from the people, let's put it out to a statewide vote and let's have an honest debate and let people hear from both sides of the argument and let the voters make an intelligent decision.
Chris Pearson?
Or we could try it in one race and see how it works. I mean, you have 53 out of 56 towns very strongly supported this. So it wasn't like a little one or two town. And this idea that it's confusing somehow, I mean, folks have gone into senior centers and done tests there. They've gone into preschool and asked the kids to rank their snacks in order. I mean, 1, 2, 3, it's really not very confusing. And we've seen in the Burlington example, very almost no spoiled ballots. I think it was over 99% accurate ballots, comparable to a normal the standard system we use today. And the other thing I want to say, that this idea that nothing's broken, almost 40% of Vermonters who are eligible to vote don't vote. That's a problem in a democracy. We have well over 40% of Vermonters identify themselves as not being a member of any party. And yet we don't have a system that honors that in any way. We have a tradition in Vermont. When you're electing a town meeting, you're electing a road commissioner or something, and there's more than two people, there is a provision for a majority winner.
So you
there.
Think it would increase and voter participation?
I think it would.
Kevin
sure.
Mullen, any sense of that?
I just think it'll be the opposite. I think that people will be confused, and it'll actually turn some people off. Chris may be right. I may be right. I'm not sure.
Chris Pearson, you mentioned that the Senate bill right now calls for using IRV for the federal offices, the two Senate offices and House of Representatives. But the ultimate goal, in your view, is to apply it to these other statewide offices that we've mentioned.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because I'm not sure when the last time, when we look back at congressional races, when we see an opportunity for IRV to even be used.
Yeah, I mean, Bernie won with over 50% for a long time. But in fact, the first time he was elected, he won with less than a majority. And the election before that, Peter Smith won with less than a majority. So again, you know, this is not this is not about fixing a problem in terms of we've had crisis after crisis, election after election. This is sort of a more subtle problem about issues that are not on the table in a debate, voters that don't have candidates that inspire them to come out and vote. I think we deserve to have a richer conversation. We have a very strong tradition of democracy here in Vermont, and I think this would be a good step forward.
Can I just address, you know, the example that's being used for the test is the next congressional race. And as of today, we don't have any opponents running against Congressman Welch. So, you know, yes, we could put it in place. The eventual winner will likely be Congressman Welch. And do we know any more from that election than we know today that this work to help that election? So, you know, I'm not so sure that even if we end up passing this through the other body, as it has already passed my body, that we're going to have a clear example of something that helped to achieve a better election.
Let's go to Facetown, check in with Judy. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling.
Hello, everybody. I was on an advisory committee or a study committee in the legislature in the 90s. We had someone from each political party, Democrat, Republican, Progressive, Libertarian, and I think Independent, I'm not sure. We had students from three students, I believe, high school students, a couple of them at least were from Burlington, the League of Women Voters, and I think there were 11 or 13 of us on the committee. And the high schoolers went to their high school, one thing that we did, and tried it out, and it was an overwhelming success. We had one of the members, it was the Libertarian, I believe, who his assignment for the next meeting that we had was to find out any problems and bring up the conundrums. What problems do we have here? We dealt with the whole thing, and it was as uncomplicated as you could want. We were unanimous that this was the way to go. I feel strongly that the majority should rule, and in this case, it can. It is very easy. It is made to look confusing. But where it has been used, it is not in other several other countries in the world. So I just think it's the way to go.
Thank you, Judy. Again, Kevin Mullen, the issue of is it this or is it not confusing comes up.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced that it's not confusing, having worked in the polls and seen a number of ballots where people just come to vote for in the president's election and don't fill anything else out on the ballot. And things like that. So, you know, I'm not swayed yet by the arguments, but I have an open ear, and Chris has made some good points. And
I'd like to address something that a previous caller mentioned about. It's always sort of the fringe element who's bringing this up. And I think that's another tactic to sort of try to derail us. In fact, John McCain, a leading Republican for president right now, supports IRV, worked in Alaska when there was a serious movement there to try to pursue it. Barack Obama as well, Howard Dean, Ruth Dwyer. So a lot of well-known Vermont politicians have backed instant runoff voting, Peter Welch, Bernie Sanders, among others.
Here's an email from Lee in Shalott, and this is directed at you, Kevin Mullen. He writes, I believe the Republicans oppose IRV because they know the current majority of Democrats and the progressives in the state would use a second choice vote to further oppose a Republican with quite different political beliefs. I think their beliefs should be honored. Is this all about political parties, Kevin Mullen?
I don't believe so. I mean, Senator Hinda Miller stood up on the floor of the Senate. She's a Democrat from Burlington and gave her passionate reasons why she was opposed to it. I've received a number of calls, including the town clerk down in Bennington, who's a former Democratic representative. So I don't think this is a party line issue. I think this is a case where, you know, voting is a serious thing. And I think that if we're going to go down this road, we really should go down the road of a constitutional change. Let the voters of the entire state of Vermont decide, and if that's the decision, then we live with it.
Mike in Northfield wants to join us. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, hi. I just got two quick points. I mean, I understand, you know, being given the ability to choose three different people and three different levels. But I think there's a problem with the U.S. Law with the Supreme Court when you have people being able to vote more than once. Their vote counts for more than one vote, like 1.75 if there's three candidates, first, second, and third. I really have a problem with that. And secondly, it's obvious to me that the system is going to be used for triangulation by voting blocks like progressives or Republicans and others or even Democrats. They're going to use it in a triangulation way to really subvert the one vote principle that underlies democracy. And politicians are going to take advantage of it, too. There's no way it's going to be transparent. It's going to be co-opted in that way. And I think that's really the agenda. I really think it is. And we have a third party. We should live with the consequences, and we shouldn't change the way things are just because of that. Thank you.
Mike, thanks. Chris Pearson, I think that's a comment for you.
Well, I'm not sure what he means by triangulate. I mean, at the end of the day, what happens is you have a candidate who you know has the support of a majority of Vermonters, over 50% of the voters. This idea that somehow your vote counts more than once, or if you vote for, say, the third or fourth place candidate, and then you get to re-vote, in a sense, for the first or second place candidate, simulates a runoff. You are not – everybody is brought back to the table to vote during the runoff round. The people who chose the first and second place candidate simply choose them again. The people whose candidates are no longer in the race have the option, if they want, to choose one of the top two place finishers. So there's really no issue there. I mean, this is in place all over this country and all over the world. And you know, if this was in violation of the one-person, one-vote principle, you can believe that wouldn't be the case.
You mentioned that the legislation is making some progress in the State House. It's passed the Senate. What are the prospects going forward?
Well, I'm confident you'll see a vote on the House floor sometime in the next month or so. I don't control the agenda, sadly, but we'll see it up there, and I think has a good chance of going to the governor's desk.
And there, is it likely to be vetoed, Kevin Mullen? Any sense of that?
Well, I think the governor will take a close look at what the final version of the bill says, and then he'll make his decision. He won't consult with me first.
Is this going to divide pretty much along party lines with Democrats and, say, progressives on one side and Republicans on the other, Senator Mullen?
I doubt it.
And so how will it break down in your view?
I think people will be voting their conscience just like they did in the Senate. There were only seven Republicans in the Senate, and I can't remember how many of us did vote for it in the end. I did not, but there were 12 negative votes, so obviously it wasn't just Republicans who voted no.
And Chris Pearson, we mentioned this has been discussed for a long time now at the legislature. What makes you think that this is going to be a breakthrough session?
Well, I think that more and more people realize we have three parties in Vermont, and we have a strong tradition of independence, and we have an awful lot of independent voters. And, you know, change like this takes time to get there, like any kind of change. So I'm confident we'll have some resolution this year.
Representative Chris Pearson and Senator Kevin Mullen, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Weekends mean music on VPR. New music with the World Cafe. Saturday night rock and roll with Joel Nadjman's My Place, now on at 8, followed by rhythm and blues with American Roots. Sit down to Sunday brunch with the Prairie Home Companion at 11 and roll right into folk and world music with all the traditions. Come explore weekends with VPR. Check out our new program schedule online at vpr.net.
Every weekday at noon, VPR's Vermont Edition goes behind the news and dives into what makes this region unique. Make it your source. Learn more at vpr.net. This podcast is made possible by VPR and its listeners.